All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
It was just, we had this, well, you know, like the Beatles used to get Ringo to sing the old tune here and there.
Yeah.
But these aren't Ringo, innit, you see? Yeah. I mean, he's ugly as sin. You know what I mean? Completely untalented.
I love to hear you guys compliment each other like that. It's a great thing.
The luckiest man in rock. So we thought we'd write him a song, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On his bank holiday. It's about nicking cars and going to Spain and meeting girls whose mothers and nuns.
That's nice. I appreciate that.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Welcome aboard all the new listeners who have joined us following the last two big episodes we've done with Matt Whitecross and Alan McGee. Where do you go from there? Only up. So today we are doing the Oasis A to Z, and we're getting back to speaking to fans and hearing from you guys, who are far more important and interesting than record label bosses and film directors. Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking Boneheads Bank Holiday with Khan Might Say, who is a YouTuber who breaks down a lot of songs, including Oasis songs, and he's really good fun. So we grabbed him for a quick chat, and we've talked to all about Boneheads Bank Holiday, and so I hope you guys really enjoy that. Plus also a chap called Steve Mahoney, who's from the band Steve Mahoney and the Milkshakes. He's also sent over his views on Boneheads Bank Holiday, so we'll hear that. And we will obviously touch on the news as well. Most importantly, as always, just an update on the Tony McCarroll Show, 17th of May, Oasis Podcast Live at the Water Rats in London. We are down to about 50 tickets now. So if you want to come, pull your finger out, get ordering, because they are going to sell out probably at the rate we're going in the next couple of weeks. So if you are planning to come, please go ahead and get tickets. Do not wait until the last minute, because you will be disappointed. It only holds 200. We can't increase the capacity. It's selling out. So if you want to come, crack on with it. Don't be emailing me with a week to go saying, oh, can you get me two? No, I can't. Right? Get them now. But first off, let's just touch on the other news. And the fallout continues to rumble from the tweets that Liam sent last week around Noel apparently suing him. Over using the Oasis footage in As It Was documentary. There hasn't been a huge amount of new information come out yet. I did ask for comment from all the various parties and no one came back to me. And the only thing was Charlie Lightning, who is the film director that's putting this As It Was together, posted out Liam's tweets and has posted a couple of bits on Instagram about it. So it sounds like he is, you know, on Liam's side of the story at least. But nothing else has really come out about that. But as I touched upon in my discussion with Nick from the Britpop Revival show last week, it has very much divided the fan base across those lines of, you know, Noel and Liam fans, as it tends to do. And we've got a little message here from our good friend David Dugan, who, you can judge which side of the fence he's on. Over to you, David.
All right, James, how's it going? Dugstar here. Great podcast as usual. Just a few words on this whole Noel threatening to sue Liam thing. It's a bit petty, isn't it? Like, you know, how many times have people threatened to sue Noel in the past and Noel's being like, oh, I'd never sue anybody. It's all nonsense. You know, Liam owns those songs as much as Noel does. I don't care if he wrote them. At the end of the day, he sang them and he made them what they were. So him threatening to be sued is a bit of a joke. You know, Noel's off making this God knows what kind of music. It does sound good live, don't get me wrong. I've seen it live. I love going to see Noel live and going to see Noel live. But, you know, if it comes down to Who Built the Moon or As You Were, I'm putting As You Were on. And, you know, at the end of the day, I've been talking to other Oasis fans about this during the week, and as I've said to them, if Liam and Noel both played in the same city on the same night, I'd be going to see Liam. And I've been an Oasis fan as long as anyone else has along here, so it's not me being, oh, I love Liam, any of that. It's, I love them both the same, and, you know, it's time to put all this in the past. They need to become brothers again before Oasis are going to reform, and whether that's going to happen, who knows, but, you know, this soon nonsense has to stop, legal letters and all that crap, you know, they don't even sort it out together. The only person that can sort this out is Peggy, so let's hope that she does. Anyways, that's enough from me. I'll see you in May. Take it easy.
The Dukester coming in hot as always. Thank you very much, Dave, for that. Much appreciated. And I completely agree. We've been holding out hope that it will have to be Peggy that will smack their heads together and try and get this sorted out. But unfortunately, I think it's gone beyond that now. And we just have to see what happens. And it will just be all these individual little issues as and when they come up. So, you know, they did manage to work together to get Supersonic done and things like that. So let's see how this plays out. If anyone else has their views on that whole situation or anything else, oasispod@gmail.com. Send us your audio messages. Much appreciated. In other Oasis news, the biggest thing that happened today was Liam on Twitter has said, "Right, brothers and sisters, need your help. Well, not really, just thought I'd get you involved, as you're always banging on about how much I never interact with yous. Put in 5 new Oasis songs in set list. You lucky fuckers can choose them. Off you go, LG." And yeah, that's caused quite a stir. 9,000 replies to that so far. And various songs were actually trending on Twitter in the UK, including Gas Panic, Columbia, Stay Young. That one sounds familiar. She's Electric, Head Shrinker, Stand By Me, Don't Go Away, Fade Away, My Big Mouth, Cast No Shadow, and Slide Away. All in like the top 20 trends, which is amazing that Liam Gallagher tweeting can have that impact on Twitter. Personally, I think from that list, I'd love to hear Stay Young, obviously. And I could claim that it was all down to the influence of the podcast because it's my outro song. Round Our Way, I'd absolutely love to hear. I think that would be incredible. That would get everyone bouncing. And yeah, maybe something like The Turning from Dig Out Your Soul. That would be incredible to hear. We live with the numbers, mining our dreams for the same old song. Why all for the turning? If everything you know is wrong, so come on. Or, to be cheeky, he did it a cappella once in 2017, but how about Don't Look Back in Anger? What a moment that would be if he starts doing that on the tour. So I asked for your thoughts on what 5 songs you'd like Liam to drop in, and we've just had a message come in from Dan Hignett from Cast No Shadow Official on Instagram.
Hey guys, it's Danny here from Cast No Shadow Official on Instagram. Yeah, I just thought I'd share my thoughts on Liam's recent tweet about 5 songs he'd like to hear. We'd like to hear this year that he'd like to play. I think what I'd like to start off with is probably Columbia. Columbia is one of my favourite ever Oasis songs, man. It's early, it's raw, it's just pure Oasis, man. When I listen to that song, it's just Oasis. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I love. I just think it'd absolutely go off, man, like live. I think it would absolutely kick off. If you were at Finsbury Park last year, you'd know what I mean, man, about it going off. There was just flares everywhere, lad. It was sick. Such an amazing song, man. Number 2, I think I'd go for Songbird. I love this song so much, man. It's short, it's sweet, but it's just Liam, man, and it's amazing. It's such an amazing song. Versions that I've seen Liam play and sing to, he just goes to another place, man. He proper He's into that tune, man, and I'd love him. And he wrote it, like, do you know what I mean? It is, so, you know, Noel can't complain about that one. Rockin' Chair, I know he played it quite a lot on his previous tour. Like, I'd love to see that make a return, man. Rockin' Chair is an absolute belter of a tune. It is an absolute belter. A lot of people will agree, like, it's the absolute pinnacle of Liam's voice. Like, if you hear him play it, if you hear him, like, singing it in the studio, he is absolutely at the top of his vocal range, in my opinion. And he's hitting everything, and it's so good, man. I think Oasis only played it twice, in Bournemouth and Blackpool in 1995. But, like, I think they stopped it because it was too high for Liam. But, mate, I'd love to see that make a return. Four, probably She's Electric, absolute belter tune. I think She's Electric was only ever played three times. Berlin in 2002 in the Columbian Holler. Liam played there last year and I went to that gig. That was sick. The Barrowlands, one of my favourite and arguably one of the best Oasis set lists and gigs of all time, and that was a sick gig that. And I think they played it at Finsbury as well, 2002, sick gig. And I think the final song, man, what I'd love Liam to play this year would be probably Shock of the Lightning, man. Oh my days, what a tune that is. Like, I went, when I was, I'm 25 now. When I was 15, my mum and dad came around to me and gave me Oasis tickets. Oh man, like, I was in bits, man. And me and my dad drove from Liverpool to Cardiff. And it was 2 days before my 16th birthday to go and see Oasis, mate, and they played this tune, and, mate, there was just everything happening. There was hot dogs going off, just flying past your head, drinks, oh, mate, it was just sick. Shock of the Lightning live was ridiculous. I remember it clear as day. It stood out so much, and for a late Oasis song, man, it did not fall into their DNA like so well. Liam's also confirmed, like, to a tweet a couple of weeks ago that he's got to play Liverpool this year, and that's my hometown. Mate, honestly, if you play Shock of the Lightning in Liverpool, mate, I am gonna cry, you know what I mean? It's gotta be absolutely sick, mate. But yeah, they would be like my five off the top of the head songs that I'd love to see Liam play this year. But yeah, man, thanks, Oasis Podcast. I love what you're doing, man. Absolutely loving it. I can't wait when you hit 500k, man, on listens. I'll be there at your party, lad. Probably put me on the hot dog stand, you know what I mean, at the back. Serving hot dogs and burgers, lad. Don't worry about me, do you know what I mean? But yeah, man, thank you so much, lad. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And yeah, keep going, keep doing what you're doing, man. We're all part of the master plan. Cheers, kiddo.
That was brilliant. Thank you very much, Danny. That's absolutely fantastic. And yeah, make sure you follow in at Cast No Shadow Official on Instagram, which is a really cool account. And yeah, he mentioned there, I've just put it on Twitter, I've just done 350,000 listens on Audio Boom. So it's probably the number's a lot bigger than that, actually, because it doesn't pick up everything. But yeah, officially the figure is 350,000. And I've said once we get to 500,000, we're throwing a party. So yeah, so keep in touch. And yeah, when we get there, we'll have a party. But anyway, yeah, let me know what your thoughts are. What songs would you like Liam to sing on the tour? As always, oasispod@gmail.com. Right, let's crack on with the interview with Khan Might Say, where we break down Bonehead's Bank Holiday. So next up on Oasis A to Z is Bonehead's Bank Holiday, and I'm joined by Imran, aka Khan Might Say. How you doing, man?
Hi, James. Yeah, I'm good, man. Good.
Good, good. What's going on?
I'm just, in between jobs at home on a Thursday, chilling.
Chilling out and chatting some Oasis.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you've got your own, you've got YouTube channel, right? And you do these kind of... breakdowns and covers and things anyway, don't you?
That's right, yeah, yeah. And I've named the channel after Some Might Say, one of my favourite Oasis songs. But yeah, yeah, so I do videos with the chord names underneath while I play the song. I do that because I thought, what kind of a video would I have benefited from as right. a guitarist learning? And if I had someone playing the song, singing it in time, with the chords underneath in time, and the fingers, my fingers showing, that would have really helped me. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I've done a few Oasis songs. Done cool. Morning Glory, Supersonic. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to my guitar tutorial on the solo in Supersonic. So this song is in the key of F sharp minor, meaning that the F sharp minor pentatonic scale is used in this song. And it goes like this.
No, cool, that's good. And yeah, as I say, I think if I had that when I was a kid, it would have been great. You know, it's sort of, it's just... You know, kids these days, they've got it so easy, haven't they? But, cool. All right, so let's have a chat about Bonehead's Bank Holiday. So just to say, it was a bonus track on what the vinyl of What's the Story, Morning Glory album. So a lot of people don't know it or only got it through sort of bootleg CDs and stuff at the time. I know that's how I got it. I had like a bootleg CD I bought down the market that had, you know, a bunch of B-sides and live tracks and things like that on it. And that was on there.
Yeah.
And yeah, and straight away, I just gravitated towards it as an absolutely fantastic song. What about you?
Yeah, I got it recorded from cassette from someone at school who had the vinyl. And he was like the guy who had Bonehead's Bank Holiday and Sad Song. That was also vinyl on Definitely Maybe. But yeah, so I had it on cassette and... Yeah, it didn't sound sonically as great as the rest of the album. And I thought, oh, maybe that's because it's like off vinyl. And then I heard the re-release, the remastered version on iTunes. And it kind of sounds the same as it. It's a bit clearer, but they've done it on purpose. You know, it's like it's that kind of with the talking throughout the song, which makes it sound like quite messy. But yeah, I mean, that's just the joy of the song, though. You know, it's them having fun.
Absolutely. And I love it. I mean, I'd love to, you know, speak to Owen Morris about it or you know, Noel or someone who actually made that decision, because it's, you know, it's not a big enough song that if you've got Owen Morris or Noel, you're probably not going to ask him about Bonehead's Bank Holiday recording, but you're going to ask him about something bigger. But actually, you know, what an interesting choice. You know, not many bands would do that. Just have like a... you know, a sort of an outtake recording session of them sort of chatting over it, and it's just a bizarre kind of, it's a bizarre way to do it, and then have that as the, have that on the vinyl. It's just very interesting.
I love the fact that, I mean, Bonehead is a symbol of Oasis for the fans, you know, like he symbolizes what Oasis were about in the early years until he left. And for him to have a song named after him, I absolutely love that. It's so good to have a homage to Bonehead. But also, it's I think it's the most Blur-sounding Oasis song. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's a good shout. It's got that. It's got a jaunty country house kind of, Great Escape sort of flavour about it, definitely.
Yeah, and the la la la's. So like, you've got For Tomorrow, la 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 la. It's a very Damon thing to do, and Trouble in the Message Center, la 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 la.
Yeah.
So that reminded me of that. But yeah, with the, I'll talk a bit more about it when I talk about the chords. But the chords also give it that sort of comedy, whimsical kind of feel to it as well.
Mm. No, it's great. And as I say, one of the things that I love about Oasis that doesn't get that much, doesn't get talked about very much, and the Beatles had it and the Who had it, is comedy. You know, there is a comedy aspect to a lot of their songs. I think we talked about it when I was talking about Diggsy's Dinner.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Not many bands would, you know, would just put outright funny things in songs like that. And you know, it's just, you don't get, especially these days, I don't think you get it as much. Whereas, you know, there are so many of those bands tradition, because they are just so funny. You know, Noel is such a funny bloke. He's got such a dry, sardonic wit. And all of them together, you know, when they're doing that, you know, he came to Spain, you know, all that sort of Cornish accent and stuff. They're just funny blokes, you know what I mean? And so, and just to have that, that was definitely part of the appeal at the time, was these guys are just funny, and they allow that to be there in the records. Yeah, you've got stuff that's rocking, you've got stuff that's like quite plaintive, like Talk Tonight or whatever, but there was always that sort of comedy sly edge to everything they did, which, you know, which I think is a massive part of their success.
Yeah, as well, a huge part of the Beatles' success as well. And
absolutely, yeah.
They'd be hilarious in interviews, and then that would translate onto the records, and you can hear it through outtakes, or you can hear it in the background at the beginning of a song, at the end of a song, and
yeah.
I think it's really important for a band to have that sort of mass appeal. I think you need to not take what you do so seriously, like take it seriously to the point where, look, you know, we write really good songs that people love, but they don't take themselves seriously, take the work seriously, but not themselves. And I think, yeah, you're right, that does add to the appeal.
I Dig a Pygmy by Charles Hawtrey and the Deaf Aids. Phase one, in which Doris gets her oats.
To a bus ride.
So so you've got the guitar there, haven't you? Did you want to just give us a little chord?
Yeah. So Bonehead's Bank Holiday is in G major, and I think it's got 5-6 chords in the whole song, and the verses go G, E minor, A major, C. But the C is not like a conventional C. Mm-hmm. It's either C7 or C9. So C9 sounds like this. It's got that note in there.
Yeah.
Which gives it that, that's what I was talking about, kind of the comedy kind of sound. Or it's like a... Yeah. Yeah, it's like a seventh, but
a ninth.
It's just one finger different. But the there are some websites on the internet that say it's G and then E minor seventh, which is a very Noel Gallagher chord, and then A minor seventh, sus four. But that to me doesn't sound right. It sounds a bit too, going back, you know, too serious, because E minor seventh, which is kind of Wonderwall, doesn't quite belong there. So, but the C seven or C nine is like roll with it. So, that chord. Yeah. So, roll with it on the same album. He's just probably playing around those chords. And then the bit where it goes, don't you know? Should have stayed in England. That's that C7, C9 chord again.
Yeah.
Reach official friends. Back to G. Don't you know? Should have stayed in England. G. Then D/F#. Should have stayed in England. With my big house and my big car. E minor. And all my friends there. A. At the bar. C. La 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 D.
Oh. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, is people sort of talk about it as a throwaway song, and because it because of the talking over it, and because it's called Bonehead's Bank Holiday, and the lyrics are quite silly. But actually, that is fantastic. You know, those chords, he could have used that and it'd be much more of a you know, not serious, but you know what I mean. It could have done a much more straightforward, like a roll with it, or a stay young, or around our way kind of jaunty, but not deemed to be a comedy song, because that is brilliant. And it's not just brilliant; it's also like wistful and nostalgic as well. And I think I was thinking about Morning Glory actually this week, and it was following from the guy a couple of weeks ago that tore my Definitely Maybe Reassembled apart. The one of the things he said was that, you know, a lot of those tracks like Fade Away and Listen Up don't belong on Definitely Maybe, because Definitely Maybe is all about, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to take on the world, etc. Whereas then Morning Glory has got much more nostalgic, you know, thinking back to things being better sort of. And I sort of like, has it? And then you think, even the jaunty, upbeat songs, you go, Hello is, it's never going to be the same, right? And then Roll With It is, I think I've got a feeling I've lost inside. You know, I mean, even these really upbeat songs, there is a, it's like they've managed to get to the mountaintop, but they're already looking back at, it could have been better. You know, I could have been happier, or things, you know what I mean? It's such an interesting thing that a lot of those songs do have that element.
I didn't notice that actually about, it's two interesting lyrics you picked out there. I mean, Hello is quite a moody song anyway, but yeah, Roll With It is a really upbeat song, but it's still got that.
Take Me Away, you know, I think I've got a feeling I've lost inside, Take Me Away. There is a nostalgia about it, and it kind of, a lot of those songs have got that, what is it, Monaco, What Do You Want From Me, and things like that. There's that sort of nostalgia to them. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's like a yearning or wistfulness to them. But anyway, I don't quite understand it. But I think, getting back to Boneheads, I think it's definitely got that in those chords. And yeah, and then, but then, you know, when you put those comedy lyrics on top, it sort of, people don't realise. And it was really nice doing the knockout tournament thing with my friend Joel, and we were talking about it, and hearing him, who knows his stuff musically, sort of breaking it down and going, no, this is a special song. This isn't just a throwaway, you know, la la la, you know, I can get a train or a boat or an aeroplane. Yeah. You know, this is a great piece of music. It just happens to have some silly lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no compromise on the quality of the songwriting. It's, you know, it's Noel, you know, doing what he does best. But with a sort of like the offbeat kind of stabs as well on the chords, so. This sort of gives it that feel as well. That kind of jokey kind of feel, whatever. What was I going to say? There's something else I was going to say. So the demo.
Yes, I was going to say about this actually. Yeah.
But
a lot of people
now,
might not know there's a demo.
I didn't know it was a demo. I heard it, I think, a few months ago for the first time. And he takes it. I'm very, very glad that he dropped where he took the song after the first verses and choruses, because he takes it in a very melancholy, plaintive direction and almost sort of ranting a little bit, because I think the lyric is stop moaning.
Because you're wasting my time. Shut up moaning. Because you're wasting my time. My time. My time. My time. My time. My time. Said I need a little break to get away for a holiday.
And yeah, it completely, like, knowing and loving Bono's Bank Holiday all these years and what the song is about, which is a sort of jokey kind of fun going away on holiday and, you know, say acting drunk basically and having a good time, hearing that, the chords and everything, like, I can't play it to you, but it sounded so out of place. It was like, oh, now it's a melancholy song, and he's not. It's not. It's not a holiday anymore. It's good that he took it. He wrote that. I don't know if you call it a mid late or the, you know, don't you know bit, because that's probably the best. My favorite bit of the song.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it is for me as well.
Yeah. So it's good that he put that
in. Yeah, and I completely agree. And I was similar. It was only in the last sort of... it was only since getting Spotify, really, that I did catch that. And it's one of those you think, wow, like, that is so different. But it doesn't start off different. Yeah. As it starts off, you think, okay, well, look... Noel singing a Noel-sung final song. So it's like, okay, fine. And then... And then you think, oh, that's different. And it's quite rare, because most, you know, I've sort of mentioned this before on here about how, you know, Beatles songs would often go through various transitions and changes before you get to the final one. But I think it doesn't tend to happen that much with Oasis, because I think Noel was the one major creative force, and he would write it, demo it, and say, right, you play this, you play this. And so the songs didn't tend to go through many dramatic changes. They were basically just pretty much fully formed from the demo and then fleshed out. Whereas, so it's rare to hear this. You think, oh, he changed that. You know, you don't hear that often.
That's very true, yeah. Yeah, no, very, very decisive. Mm. Like, most of the demos, you know, like you say, 95% of the demos you hear of songs are like, oh, that's exactly the same structure, and there's a solo there, and he says this phrase the exact number of times. But yeah, very rare to hear a different section of a song. I'm trying to think of other examples.
I can't think of one.
That's happened.
I mean, there's things like, you know, Setting Sun coming on strong, and, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that is different.
Yeah. What, the...
Absolutely.
That one,
that went to be the Chemical Brothers song, but
coming on stronger, not like the wind. The visions we have are fading away. You're part of a life I've never had. You know, I'll tell you, man, it's just too
So it is quite a rarity, you know, to have a sort of, oh, that's different. He changed it. So yeah, but as I completely agree, I'm really pleased he did, because I think he improved the song massively for it. Cool. Good. Yeah, and do you just want to talk about the reason that, even though it's Bonehead's Bank Holiday and we'd love to hear Bonehead sing it,
yeah,
it's not Bonehead singing.
Yeah. So I remember this. So I was 15 in 1996. So I remember at school talking to a couple of friends who were Oasis fans, and my cousins actually, which absolutely loved Oasis, and we'd read like in the NME, oh, Noel's written a song and Bonehead's gonna sing it, you know, like we've heard Noel, even Noel like was only sung a couple of songs, like sung the chorus to Acquiesce and Take Me Away, Talk Tonight, but even Noel hadn't really sung that many songs. But on the new album, you know, there was going to be like this track that Bonehead sang. And then I remember hearing it for the first time. I was like, right, yeah, no. Bonehead's got a similar... No, I didn't think... I thought Bonehead's got a very similar... He sounds like Noel, actually. He's very similar to Noel. Very similar style. And I totally thought this for like... It must have been at least like a couple of weeks. And then the more I listened to it, I was like... That's not. That's just Noel, isn't it? That's not Bonehead at all. But then obviously you can hear Bonehead speaking and stuff. But yeah, so the story behind that was that he was going to sing it. I can't remember where I heard this or read it, but it is understood amongst fans that Bonehead was going to sing it, but him he was nervous about it. And him and Liam went to the pub and were shit-faced when they came back. So Bonehead couldn't do it. And then I think I also heard that Noel... There is a recording of it, and Noel has it. And I think Noel joked that he would release it on the box set.
Oh, right. No, I haven't read that. No, I've definitely heard the story about him and Liam going to the pub. And so that why that was why that they didn't... he didn't end up doing it. But so when he says, I'll sing at the end, you think, brilliant, he's going to sing. But then he doesn't. He just talks it. And he talks it in that sort of funny kind of Cornish accent.
Yeah. Has there ever been, has anyone heard Bonehead's voice?
No. Singing voice? Well, I don't think so. Someone will be jumping up and down and correcting me now. But no, he never did backing vocals. One of the things that I'll tell you what, should we jump into the Twitter comments and what people said? Because then that might spur a few other things.
Yeah.
So it got a fantastic result on my poll. So it was 5 out of 5 got 32%, 4, 30%, 3, 28%, and then 2, 10%. So overall, you know, 5 was the winner. But obviously, it's a very divisive song. I think a lot of people similar to us really appreciate what it is. But then quite a few people did just kind of say, nah, it's throwaway, you know, not bothered by it. But... So, one of the things, I did a little thread of this, especially for the non-Brits listening, who probably just kind of run, you know, just don't really get a lot of the references. So, you know, a bank holiday over here is like when you have a Monday off and it happens 6 times a year, like in the Blur song, bank holiday comes 6 times a year. So in America, they have like Labor Day and President's Day and things like that. So that's kind of the equivalent. And banks are...
Thanksgiving.
And banks are closed. And so it was known as a bank holiday, but everyone, you know, most businesses closed down as well. So that's what that's about. And then often, you know, because you have a long weekend, so it's a chance to go off on holiday. So, but you wouldn't necessarily go to Spain for a weekend. So that's a bit bizarre. But anyway, don't quite get that. Grandma's new dentures, eating the crust on pizza, taken out by her daughter, because she thought she bought her, kids are eating Snickers, because they're so delicious, then it's sticky fingers, when he says about Aveline, I've always read that as, do you remember the TV show Bread in the late 80s?
There
was the main female character from that was called Aveline. All right, Aveline. And I wonder if it's a reference to her. But then someone else in the comments said, oh, no, it's Aveline, as in have a line.
Have a line.
I'd never put what two and two together. Yeah. But what do you think about that?
To be honest, I have never...
you never thought about it?
I've not known. I just... It goes, her name was Aveline. I'm really dim with lyrics sometimes, and I think I just thought he said her name is on the line.
Oh, really? No, it's
But I remember Aveline is a very unusual name, and Bread was everyone watched Bread, didn't
and it's the sort of thing that he would have watched because it did really end up in the public consciousness as well. Like greetings, remember the main brother would go greetings, and. Aveline was a famous character.
But you do, it doesn't really make sense, does it? Her name was Aveline.
Yeah. Gotta get up, gotta get out. Grab the world by the throat and shout. Gotta find it, get us a share. Make the bread out of nothing but air. Riding high and hitting the ground. Catching a penny.
I don't know.
And then,
I think it's Ava.
Yeah. Ava, and then when he talks about Not, he says, he said the name was Dot. She didn't have talk a lot. I wonder if that's Dot Cotton from EastEnders.
Dot Cotton on EastEnders. It could be a soap kind of theme as well.
Well, you imagine if he might have just been sat there, because we know he often writes watching the TV. So you can imagine he sat there like one day, like just watching TV and just like, EastEnders comes on, then Bread comes on. He's like, the name was Dot and she didn't have talk a lot.
Could be. Oh, it could have been that he had the line, she doesn't have talk a lot. Rhymes with lot?
Dot. Yeah, Dot. That'll do.
it could just be that.
And then, the fact that they're going to Spain, if you're from the UK, Spain is often a good tourist destination because it's hot and over here it's the weather's normally crap. And then when he talks about the my polluted beach, especially in the night, I don't know if you hear about it anymore, much more these days. Maybe they've sort of cleaned them up a bit. But I remember in the 90s there was a big thing about Britain's beaches being really badly polluted, and them trying to clean up the beaches. So I think that's kind of a little reference to that. Especially if you were like working class and growing up and sort of, not got the chance to go away to Spain on holiday, you'd have to go to like Blackpool or something like that. Whereas actually if you get a bit of money, you can go to Spain, and that was such a big deal. So, so I think that's kind of where that whole vibe is coming from. I mean, to me and you, that's probably obvious, but I think a lot of the Americans listening, and from other countries might not get that. So I just thought it was worth pointing out.
I think that's true. That could easily be true about Spain. But what other, if you hear the other countries that you could have said, what rhymes with France?
Have a dance.
And Italy, or, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Like, nothing really rhymes with that. Whereas with Spain, you've got a nun in pain.
I've never heard that's a good one, a nun in pain, because I've never heard that you would use the phrase like she had a face like a bulldog chewing a wasp, or a face like I've heard
smacked
yeah
off.
Your face looks like, or a face like a bulldog licking piss off a nettle. You ever heard that one before?
I've never like heard that one. That's
so whereas
mental.
I've never heard a face like a nun in pain, but it's brilliant.
that's brilliant. It's really
a face like
really
a nun
good.
In pain. Anyway, right, let's see what the see what people said then. Another point a few people made this was the whole thing, like you mentioned about it sounding like a Blur song. I mean, it could be designed as a piss take of Blur.
Like you pointed out as well about Bank Holiday, which is on Park Life, and Boneheads.
And then
it could easily
and
then
the,
And but they might have had a back and forth with that as well, because in Country House, he references he's got Morning Glory, so life's a different story.
Yeah, and the other two things that Blur it kind of relates to. So Girls and Boys is all about going off on holiday to Greece and having a holiday, and also in the song Advert when he goes, "You need a holiday somewhere in the sun." So it's very much. You know, maybe Noel was listening to Park Life at the time and sort of was then, because we know that was around this time. So, yeah, maybe he just did think, all right, well, you're doing holiday songs, are you? All right, I'll do a holiday song as well.
He's got Morning Glory and life's a different story. Everything's going Jack and Jory. Touch with his own mortality. He's raging balls and looking bad pros. It's a helping hand that makes you. Oh, it's a century's remedy for the pain that haunts. Start trying simple.
Yeah, and I was just going to put Boneheads in front of it and name it after one of your songs.
Right, let's see, what else have we got? Okay, so Amy F-Spot said, "I've never heard this song until Supersonic, but there were many songs I'd sadly never heard until Supersonic. I think it's catchy and very cheeky, but most importantly, it's fun to sing along to, and I like the middle bit too." Greedy Soul, who is at Supernova Dragon, said, 3.5 for me. No, you're not allowed to do 3.5. This is how Twitter works. You've got to do 3 or 4.
Round it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the track. Perfect fun time track. And I long for a full-on version that's definitely in the vaults. It's the song that, for me at least, most sums up the fun of Oasis. I like that. Louise at Stop Crying Your Heart Out said, "If you could bottle the spirit of Oasis as a song and sell it, I'd pick this song. It's just pure, unadulterated fun. Boned and Liam got drunk on an obscene amount of cider before recording it. Owen Morris gave Boned a cassette of the pair of them attempting to record it." Dennis Zielstra said, "I remember searching the whole of Holland for a vinyl version of the album just to hear this song. This was before vinyl was hip again. I found it in a little record shop in an even smaller town. It was one of the best days of my life."
Brilliant. Legend. Give me his
well
email
done,
address.
Well done, Dennis. What a legend. Michael Kinsella said, "It's like a cool nursery rhyme. Get stuck in your head. Definitely wouldn't skip it." No chance. Never skip it. Kevin Smith said, MFing 5 and I won't hear anything different. Fair enough. Brianna Westervelt said, "I especially love the bit with Boned and Liam at the end." Yeah, we can get into that. Dan Best, 4 for me. Reminds me of a spring bank holiday. Should be played on the radio. Love it. Richard Bowes, "Me thinks they were drunk when they recorded it. A fun but shallow Noel song released only on vinyl, which was nearly impossible to hear without spending all your pocket money. The cheek of the man. Great middle eight though." This was interesting. This is the only person that came in negative. Peggy said, "I'd pick 1.
Oh,
I like the song, but the talking about it at the end going through the lyrics just seems unnecessary to me and irks me when it comes on my Spotify radio."
I think maybe slightly missed the point.
Yeah, but I came back to him and said, "Wow, you're the first person I've ever heard who doesn't enjoy the ending of Boner's Bank Holiday." And he just said, "Huh, I just find it somewhat annoying. Great tune, just that spoils it." Interesting, isn't it? I've never, ever... And there's other songs that do have sort of spoken bits of outro or longer bits and that I do end up skipping.
Come On, Feel the Noise.
Yeah, Come On, Feel the Noise I always keep. Yeah, I think everything in Oasis...
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Keep. But there's, you know, other tracks in other bands you think, all right, just skip that bit, you know. But yeah, no, I would never skip that. That's like one of my favourite bits. I'll sing to
it's great. Like talking about that as well, like I always imagined, I don't know why, I just always imagined that you had Boned and then the other voice who does the West Country accent. I always just thought, oh, that's Gwigs, isn't it? That's Gwigsy. Because it's not a voice I've heard before and it's not Alan. So I don't know why, I just had it in my head that that's Gwigs. I don't know. Do we
I'm
know
not,
who that is? Is it
I'm
Owen
not
Morris?
Sure.
Could be
I
Owen
think
Morris,
it's Liam.
Okay, so there's one phrase that definitely is Liam, I can't remember what it is. Don't you know?
Don't you know is Liam.
But the West Country.
So obviously you can tell which bit's Boner, because he goes, she had a good time. And then the one I think is Liam, because she was a good fucking shag, she was like that in the background. I think that's all Liam, because...
I think you could be right, because actually, the reason I thought it's not Liam is because I couldn't hear any of his voice, but actually Liam's really can do accents really well, because I followed his Instagram and he does the posh voice really well. So
no, I think it's him, because in the song as well, there's lots of like, you know, la la la, all of those ones are Liam, I think. So I think he was around for the recording. It's another song where Liam does backing vocals, which is so rare. You know, it was so magic to get on Liam on backing vocals. You know, the rare songs that have got it, it's just brilliant. And so, yeah, so you've got Liam on back of it, because I've always assumed it was Liam. I'm sure someone might be able to tell us otherwise. But, yeah. She was with her mum. She was with her mum. And and then he makes him laugh. But what I love about that, I remember listening to it, and because I've always assumed it was Boner and Liam. And I often think, stop, Liam. I'm really enjoying Boned's one. And when Liam's sort of jumping in again, I'm thinking, I want to hear Boner do it, because I think he's just funny. The way he sounds quite aggressive when he's doing it. You know what I mean?
I met a funny fucking girl on the crowded beach in Spain. Her name's Evelyn. She said she came to Spain to have a good time. That's right. She was with her mum. She was with her mum. It would have faced like an unnamed fucking unnamed pain.
Said her name was Doc.
She didn't have to talk a lot.
I couldn't tell if she was mad or nah.
Yeah.
An unnamed pain.
Who is it at the end of Come On Feel the Noise?
Oh, that's I think Robbie Williams is there. I think Robbie Williams is one of them. I think that's come up. That's come up before.
Ruined it. And I always thought the woman at the end was Danny Bear, but it kind of sounds like her, but it doesn't make sense. It wouldn't be Danny
in,
Bear.
In what song?
She wouldn't have been. In Come and Feel the Noise, there's a laugh at the end.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Don't know. I know it's, it might be Lisa Moorish, actually.
Yeah,
is it
that's
Lisa Moorish?
It.
I know Lisa Moorish is on Fade Away. Lisa Moorish is on the Help album Fade Away.
Yeah. The Help album. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, where are we going? All right, so then we've got We Are DNA said, fans know that the band members were always less than serious than their music implies. This is the rare example of that in song. Very Britpop. Probably the most Britpop Oasis song of all. Good fun, 4 out of 5. That's true. Someone else said that, actually. It's the most Britpop song. And I kind of get that. In if you think that sort of that mid-period Blur is kind of the sound of Britpop, then I think it is definitely got a Britpop jauntiness to it. Richie Lumsden, shows how prolific Noel was in that period. Even a throwaway joke tune like that has a great melody. James Goodwin said, fun tune that definitely had no business being on the album. If ever a song screamed B-side, this is it. Noel included this on the vinyl version, while stuff like Acquiesce and The Masterplan went by the board. Show his track selection has always been a bit questionable. There you go.
That's more practicality, because they'd have a single they're releasing and be like, okay, now we need some B-sides. So then Noel would write songs, and then that's how he wrote Masterplan, Acquiesce, and they just shoved it on. And like your interview with Alan McGee said, like he wasn't holding back, because he thought it'd last forever.
Yeah, he thought it was the Beatles. Yeah.
Daniel
Cadet said, wow, what a tune. It gets a 5 purely for the nonsense at the end. That's better, thank you. Davies, who is at Davies H, says, fun little throwaway song which lets you see behind the iron curtain, so to speak, of the drunken japes that the lads would get up to in the studio. Lovely capture of a moment in time. Yeah, wouldn't you love to have been in the recording studio for that? How amazing would that have been?
Oh. Best 14 days.
Daniel, who's Daniel underscore 8 MCP, said, it's one of those classic funny Oasis songs which don't really have a great deal of thought behind them. It's good to listen to, but can't really be given anything above a 3, as it's just not the same quality as most others. I do love the spoken bit at the end, though. Daniel Hurst, who is at Artois69, said, the talking in the background really gives you a feel of the band at the time. Whilst it does seem like a throwaway song, it does have the theme of getting away from the city, which runs through many early songs. Yeah, great middle eight, yeah. And like Liam's backing vocals, 3 from me. Yeah, and I think that's about it. So yeah, so it's cool. Good. I think there was. I think we basically covered everything that we were sort of saying. Really, I think that was what people do tend to think of it. What do you think about, should it have been a vinyl additional track? Should it have been a B-side, an album track, single? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, my general attitude to, like, these kind of conversations is always, you know what, they put it on a vinyl thing and, you know, it just was, keep things how they were, you know. It was what it was, you know. Like Acquiesce was a B-side to, some might say, and Oasis were like, that's why I personally absolutely loved Oasis so much, because you'd buy this CD single for £4 and you're getting like incredible tracks, you know. You're getting like B-sides that are better than the singles, so it's just like, that's what was so amazing. And yeah, it kind of shortens the life of you know, the band, and they could have released 3 or 4 more albums that were really good. But, you know, I just loved it. I just enjoyed it for what it was. So I think it completely makes sense why they put it on the vinyl. It kind of sounds, you know, it sounds like it should be, really. So yeah,
spot on. All right, for my 2 pennies worth, I think that, yeah, I like the fact, like saying about that, the guy in Holland trying to track it down or whatever. I really like that, and I suppose if there's a bonus track on like a vinyl album, you have to get the vinyl to hear it. It's quite nice that it's a comedy one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is quite nice, because
yeah,
it could have been
You
know, it could have been, well, let's think, what, When's This Morning Glory? You know, if it was It's Better People. Oh, yeah, there's like a really nice acoustic track on that, you know, you have to get on the vinyl. You know what I mean? It's like, it's either, you either have to make it like an amazing thing, but then if it's an amazing thing, like if it was the master plan, then that's a real shame, because not many people are going to hear it. It's sort of, I think it's a great idea, actually, having this sort of curio, you know what I mean, this interesting little tune on the on the vinyl to sort of encourage people to go out and buy the vinyl, but not like, you're not holding back the best thing that's only on the vinyl. So that makes sense. You know, I need a little bit to get away for a holiday, so I can see the sun, because in the sun they say it's fun if you get some. Well, I can take a train or a boat.
That's right. And yeah, I mean, it's they probably thought, you know, we've had such a good time making this record, why not just put it out there as you know, on the album? Because it took them like 12 days, didn't it? Or 12 or 14 days to make it, and it was a really good time and everything. And yeah, they had that argument, but, you know, they came back and stuff. So it you can see their logic of putting it there. And it's different to anything else on Morning Glory. But the other vinyl track they put, Sad Song, I think that also makes sense as well, because it is the whole album. I thought the guy that broke down your Definitely Maybe
reassembled, like, thing, yeah.
Alterations, reassembled, yeah. He articulated it so well. I can't remember his name, but he said Fade Away doesn't make sense as instead of Shaker Maker, because, you know, the Definitely Maybe is all about aspiration and fadeaways, like talking about the dreams we have as children going away, and then Listen Up not being in keeping with the theme. And I think that's completely right, and Definitely Maybe is great for that reason. But also, like, having Sad Song there makes sense, because it's not like, it's a completely different type of song to everything else on Definitely Maybe. But knowing, like, where they, like, their journey and where they come from and where they were at that time, Sad Song is just perfect, because it also says that things weren't great, and, you know, Noel wasn't in a great place, and having that being documented as well was great. It wouldn't have worked, I think, if it was, for example, instead of Married with Children.
Oh, you wouldn't, like, end, oh, well, up on a sad note, like, such... that, no way. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, but having it as that extra vinyl, it just makes sense.
And I was just looking up, I know it wasn't played live, but I just had a search on sort of Setlist FM, which is a not perfect, but it's a pretty good sort of website for tracking down set lists, and the Oasis one on there is pretty good. And searching Bonus Bank Holiday in there, it hasn't been played live, but the note is Oasis played their first gig in Asia, which was September the 14th, 1994. They played in Tokyo, and Noel sound checked, some might say, Hey Now and Bonus Bank Holiday. So it has been played live, but only a sound check.
who got that information? No, that's amazing.
I've no idea. Just...
like, they know what songs unless were sound checked. Is there someone?
I'm just gonna.
Someone going around the world, like, listening to bands sound checking. It's amazing. Just
quickly, unless it was bootlegged, and that's how they know.
If there's a recording, that'd be interesting.
No, it just looks like it's just the demo coming up. Okay, so he's saying, all right, so apparently the demo version might be the sound check. So, yeah, not sure.
I met a funny-looking girl on a crowded beach in Spain. Her name was Aveline. And she said she came to Spain to have a good time. But she was with her mama, had a face like a nun in pain. She said her name was Dot, and she didn't have to talk a lot about a lot of things that I forgot. La, 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 la.
Good. All right. No, well, that's interesting. So it wasn't played live, and I can kind of understand why, but yeah. That's fine. And I think you gave it a 4, didn't you, when you voted?
Yeah, I think so.
Which I think is fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, the 5s are reserved for the absolute, you know, the master plans and It's Good to Be Free's.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. It's Good to Be Free, you put right up there with, like, the master plan, yeah?
Yeah, I absolutely love that song, yeah. It's just one of my favourite. I'd love the sound of the solo, and I just love that song, yeah. One of the first cassettes I got of Oasis was Free with Q, I think, and it was the White Room cassette.
Okay, yeah.
And they did Talk Tonight with Paul Weller. It's Good to Be Free. I can't remember, there was another song as well.
Round Our Way.
It wasn't Round Our Way. Yeah, that was the other time. But I remember just listening to It's Good to Be Free just on repeat. Yeah, I don't know why. It's a weird one, that one. No, but,
cool.
Yeah.
Good. All right, mate. Well, thank you so much for that. I do really appreciate it. And, and so where can the kids find you online?
So, YouTube channel called Calm Might Say. Instagram, same, Calm Might Say. On Twitter as well, but I don't really use it. And I've got a Facebook page. It's all, Calm Might Say.
All right. Well, make sure people check that out. And, yeah, appreciate your time, and we'll let's go on a bank holiday to Spain.
Yeah, find a nun whose face looks like it's in pain.
All right, cheers, buddy.
Cool, cheers.
So thank you very much to Khan Might Say for taking the time to have a chat about Bonus Bank Holiday. Greatly appreciated. And make sure you guys check out his YouTube channel at Khan Might Say, and where you can learn how to play the guitar. Impress your friends at parties by being able to play Oasis songs. We also had an audio message from Steve Mahoney of Steve Mahoney and the Milkshakes, who wanted to also throw in a few words about Bonus Bank Holiday, because he works in that kind of comedy genre of music as well. So made a lot of sense. Let's hear from Steve.
Hi there, how's it going? I'm a long-time Oasis podcast listener and a first-time contributor here. And I just wanted to... I saw it popped up in your A to Z list of songs that you're covering Bonehead's Bank Holiday. So I wanted to contribute to that for a few reasons. It is actually, like, I'd say my top 30 Oasis songs, having revisited. I know that might sound a bit mad, but... it's also relevant to me because I'm a musician and I've just done a sort of comedy rock and roll album that I'm releasing this summer called Can't Get Arrested, and it's kind of self-deprecating, very British humour. A lot of the style of the music's very American, but I wouldn't say I'm directly influenced by the track Bonehead's Bank Holiday, but I'm obviously a huge Oasis fan going back to 94. I used to tape the chart off the radio, like I think a lot of people did back then, when it was good, when there was something decent in the chart. And I think I first heard Cigarettes and Alcohol in that way. And then Whatever, I was kind of a fan. And it was like a slow sale. And then Some Might Say was the single where I was like completely became a fan. And remember they were on Top of the Pops and was loving it. I went out and bought the single. Obviously that Some Might Say single is unbelievable. Better than most albums in history. And it's a four track EP. Why those amazing songs are on that single, nobody knows, but we're all sort of appreciative of that. So I've just had a listen to Bonehead's Bank Holiday, and it fits me as well, like, because I wouldn't say I'm a comedian, but I also do a podcast, and the humour of it just appeals to me. And obviously they did this on a little bit of this kind of studio banter on It's Good to Be Free at the end, with the Irish jig and the accordion and stuff. And it just like takes me back now to a time where people took things less seriously in general, really, and certainly musicians. And I, for one, would kind of like to see, and this might not be a popular opinion, a bit more humour in, like, especially Noel's current output, because I don't know. I think they're funny guys. Obviously, I'm like most fans, that one of the best things, you know, the Gallaghers do nowadays is their interviews. And like, I'm on YouTube when they're on promotional runs every week checking out the latest videos because they're hilarious, you know. And this is obviously hilarious. So I've just given it a spin, Bonehead's Bank Holiday, and I've never actually heard Noel's acoustic intro on the remastered version. I don't know why that's been added or why that's interesting, really. But so I didn't buy the remastered version, and I've just heard it on Spotify.
Right, if we lose it, join in.
I also wondered, like, is it actually Bonehead himself with the Irish kind of profanity where he's going fucking fire, fire and all that? And then is it Liam with him? And it's like, I used to enjoy listening to this and wondering who it was. And it was kind of like, it's a party that you're not in and you want to be in that party, you know. And I was 14 or something, and like, you know, it just sounded like the lads were out on the lash having a laugh, and it is really funny. And like, as I and most of us were fans of this band, you almost learnt the jokes and the banter the same way you did the lyrics, you know. It's weird with this song because it's almost an afterthought, as it's very limited edition. I can't even remember what edition it's on, but it's in the Morning Glory sessions. Excuse me if I'm not enough of a fan there to remember what exactly. I think it might have been on a vinyl B-side or something like that. So whenever I hear it, it's like a delight to hear, because it's like a hidden gem. It's like something that it's just like an ongoing nice treat to hear. You know, it's something that's come back, like, you know, the McRib or whatever. So it is a joke song, but I think it is also a great song, and predominantly British, and reminds me of like Monty Python, Eric Idle type humour. But also, I've just read about it almost a little bit blur with the la la la's and not very serious. So maybe that's why it wasn't obviously on any album or taken any further, because at that point, I think they were thinking Cabaret and Chaz and Dave and all that sort of idea was a bit derogatory, and rightly so. It's not exactly Live Forever, you know, Bring On Down supersonic level, is it? It's a different tone, which is good for a B-side, I think. It also reminds me a bit of The Faces. I don't know if anyone there is a fan of The Faces. Obviously, a track like Head Shrinker sounds a lot like Stay With Me. Faces are one of my favourite bands. They have a couple of outtakes that you might want to check out that kind of have this kind of jokey vibe. One's called A Whole Lot of Woman, which is on one of their recent sort of compilation re-releases a couple of years ago. And another is a version they did of Maggie May. It's on a Faces box set by Ian McGlagan called, I think it's called Four Guys Walk Into a Bar or something like that. There's a lot of this stuff with The Faces where they're in the studio and they're messing about, taking the piss out of each other, which I always really like, because it makes a track truly unique. And I think Noel likes that as well. He always has like clearing of throats and rattling of jewellery and stuff at the beginning of his tracks.
Turn the tape machine on, let's get it going.
Go. It's rolling.
Go! Right, go! Shh. Right, go! Shh. Yeah, that's really fucking good! Right, let's go. Now, this is a serious recording, man. If ever I was serious, it's now. Oh my god! Wasted time!
Oh. Shut up!
I'm ready!
This track has obviously put a smile on my face for 20 years, and like when I hear it, it kind of feels like I'm 14 again, you know, not in a weird way. It's just, it's still funny to me, and it's great to hear it remastered as well, because like, I think I used to listen to this track on a cassette, and I couldn't fully hear the banter that was going on throughout the whole track, but in the left speaker or the left headphone or whatever, you can actually hear that whoever it is, if it's like Bonehead, if it's like Marcus Russell or something, or Liam, they're making stupid noises throughout the whole thing, which also kind of reminds me of like Obla Di Obla Da. Maybe that's more what they were going for, and maybe I'm just interpreting the Eric Idle kind of blur vibe from it. And you know, it's also funny to me, listen to it, there's some quite accomplished kind of jazzy drumming from Alan White underneath. I wouldn't say jazzy, but like he's doing fills underneath a joke song, you know, because I think it was his first sort of session in the band. It's just funny to me to hear this like amazing, like accomplished drummer full of enthusiasm trying to get his really great drumming skills into this track that's basically a joke. I wonder as well how this track would be received by a label now. Would it be put out? Would it be a B-side? I mean, B-sides don't really exist. So I'm into music like this, and I'd like to hear sort of indie bands, rock bands and all that still having a bit of humour about them. I don't know if anyone out there could have anything that springs to mind immediately in the last 10, 20 years that's funny, but I still like this, and I would appreciate more comedy out there in music. I've also, like I say, I think it's in my top 30 Oasis songs. That's what I'm just pulling out of a hat. Crucify Me, if you like. And also in my top 10 Noel songs. I never really felt like it was sung by Noel when I was a kid. I was like, is Bonehead singing this? Of course it's Noel, listening back to it. And I've always wondered as well, I don't know if any other fans can clear this up, but there's like a mystery to me, is who is this at the end? Is it Bonehead and Liam? Is it Bonehead and like one of their manager, or is it Owen Morris? Is it someone like, I don't know. So I don't know who it is, but sometimes questions are left better unanswered, and I like the mystery of it as well. Like, where are they? Why are they doing this track? Who is it that's doing these stupid noises throughout it all? And, you know, did they go on holiday? What happened? It's kind of, I think Danny Goffey did a track recently about a load of blokes going to Magaluf or going to Ibiza or something like that. And again, it's just a really fun thing. Anyway, I hope I haven't rambled too long. So my name's Steve Mahoney. I'm releasing an album soon. Steve Mahoney and the Milkshakes is the band. So check that out if you like. And I'll see you all soon. I'll see you at the show at the Water Rats. Cheers.
Thank you, Steve. Much appreciated. Great stuff. And yeah, also look forward to seeing you down at the Water Rats. Steve has got his tickets. So that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And as always, thanks to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it is greatly appreciated. And welcome to the new patrons. We've had quite a few new people sign up in the last couple of weeks, so that is also fantastic. I did a mention on the Patreon page earlier today, actually, just to say that I'm going to start putting the main episodes up on the Patreon as well. So where they play on iTunes or Spotify, they do tend to have adverts in them at the start and end, and then occasionally one or two in the middle. If you can't be asked to hear those adverts and they do your head in, and you want to get the podcast just pure and clean with no adverts at all, then sign up at Patreon. From $1 per month, you will get all the old episodes, plus the new ones that come out, plus extra bonus episodes, all completely advert free. So yeah, that's one of the benefits of signing up. The main one is just to know that your 77p a month or whatever it is helping to keep the lights on here at the legendary Supernova Studios. Please follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me at oasispod@gmail.com. I'll tell you something, actually, I don't say much. I'm not a big Facebook person. So if you can go on to Facebook Oasis groups and tell them there about the Oasis podcast, that would be great, because I don't spend much time over in Facebook land. So if you can do that for me, that would be brilliant. Please subscribe and review on iTunes and get your tickets for the Water Rats. I'm keep going on about this until it sells out. 17th of May, London, with Tony McCarroll, live music with the likes of Khan Might Say and Steve Mahoney, by the way. And we will speak to you soon. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Because in the sun, they say it's fun, if you get some.